This year's Weisberg Chair in Human Rights and Social Justice at Beloit College is Joel Simon. Simon, a journalist and author, has been executive director of the Committee to Protect Journalists since 2006. WNIJ's Guy Stevens spoke with Simon for this week's Friday Forum. He started by asking about the term fake news.
I never talk about fake news. It's not a term I use. I resist it. I think when I talk about what President Trump seems to be suggesting when he talks about fake news, I talk about it in a different way. So let's go back to the origins. When fake news sort of emerged as a term, it was in the aftermath of the 2016 election, and it was used to refer to stories that were what's called clickbait. So they were exaggerated stories that were false, but that seemed to attract people to click on them, which, you know, generated advertising, and they seemed to be generated in different ways by websites that were looking for traffic. Trump then appropriated the term and started using it to describe news stories that were critical of him or his administration. And then it got jumbled together with all sorts of different things like disinformation and misinformation and stories that were inaccurate and stories that were misleading and stories that were just run-of-the-mill mistakes. So I really think the term has no meaning. It's a political term. It's used to beat up and delegitimize the media. It's being appropriated not just across the country by politicians who don't like critical reporting, but also by repressive governments around the world. When they don't like critical reporting, they call it fake news. A number of countries around the world have passed fake news laws, so they're criminalizing fake news. More journalists are being jailed around the world on fake news charges. So one of the effects that it has is empowering autocratic leaders around the world who are using this term to justify their repression.
So what does one do to combat that phenomenon?
Well, what phenomena are we combating? So let's talk about one phenomena, which is that President Trump is trying to delegitimize criticism of his administration. And he said in an interview with Leslie Stahl from CBS News, and he basically said, listen, I do this, why I attack the media, so that when you guys print stuff about me, people don't believe it. So let's define that as the problem. If we do, then I think it's really up to journalists to really just get on with their job. You know, do the best possible reporting they can do, to be fair, to be accurate, to be aggressive in demanding accountability. That's their job. But to not take the bait, honestly. So that's the first thing. Now, if you define the problem of Trump using fake news, as we at CPJ do, is that this kind of language is empowering autocratic leaders around the world and actually making it easier for them to repress journalists and throw them in jail. Then we have a different challenge, which is that we believe this term is not just, you know, undermining public confidence in the media here, which is something that's unfortunate but we can combat, but is actually creating a more dangerous environment for journalists around the world. Then you have to confront the president directly and senior people in his administration and try and convince them of the negative impact this term has, and that there's an awareness of the way in which, you know, this kind of rhetoric is deeply damaging. Also, it's deeply damaging in terms of the U.S. ability to influence the behavior of repressive government and defend the rights of journalists around the world.
Do you see that there is an increase in danger to the media?
There's no question that we're seeing more and more in this country direct threats to journalists, and some of them seem to be inspired by the president's rhetoric. I don't want to overstate it, but there's been a number of incidents that are really scary, that impact the media, that seem to be people who are inspired by this rhetoric. And I think, you know, around the world, if you look at the Jamal Khashoggi murder carried out at the Saudi consulate in Istanbul, Turkey, allegedly on the orders of the Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, and you look at reports that this is part of a concerted strategy to suppress critics within the kingdom, he clearly was not concerned about the response from the Trump administration, and it turns out that he had no reason to be concerned because Trump has basically said that the truth here is unknowable and that the relationship with the Saudi government is more important than the life of a single journalist. So that sends a terrible message to autocratic regimes around the world that there are no consequences for killing journalists, and I think that's deeply regrettable.
What message would you have for the non-journalists to deal with this?
I think the most important thing is to recognize that this is an unprecedented moment. I do think that people are becoming aware. Just in this country, people are responding to this kind of hostile anti-media rhetoric. I think they recognize and value, you know, the tradition in this country, the political tradition derived from the First Amendment is one of tolerance for the broadest possible expression of views, that that is deeply embedded in our political culture, that that has informed the way that we sort of behave in this country, and that those norms are under attack and need to be defended. I also think that the response of the public to the murder of Jamal Khashoggi, you know, as awful as that crime was, does suggest that people are aware that journalists around the world are risking their lives to keep us informed and that we have to stand up and defend those journalists when they're faced this kind of violent attack. I think the most important thing that the public can do is value the free press, not an individual journalist, not an individual media outlet, and recognizing that we are living through a moment when the media is polarized, when, you know, there's lots of reasons to be mad at journalists and people don't like everything that journalists do. But we can't solve that problem by compromising our historic commitment to press freedom. And we have to ensure that the U.S. is a beacon for press freedom around the world. And the U.S. has the ability to defend the rights of journalists and to do so credibly, because our national interests, to a certain extent, depend on our ability to ensure that information flows freely across borders. That has a strategic and even economic benefit to our country. The U.S. public needs to insist that we respect press freedom at home and promote press freedom abroad, and recognize that this is, you know, a difficult time to retain those values and those ideals, but do so we must.
That was Joel Simon, Executive Director of the Committee to Protect Journalists and this year's Weisberg Chair at Beloit College. He spoke with WNIJ's Guy Stevens.